but you're half cold. Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on June 19th of 2023. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Northern Michigan, where I live. And it is great to be with you tonight, wherever you may be tuning in, however you may be tuning into the program. And I hope that everybody had a great Father's Day weekend. I hope you took a chance to at least spend time with your dad. And if you couldn't do that, maybe at least call him, you know. Either call him or, you know, text him, or at least something. Preferably call him if he couldn't see him in person. I went with my father and mom yesterday to go up north to Cadillac and see my grandpa on my mom's side. And yes, he's doing pretty good. He's up there in age. His number is a bit higher than mine. Or, you know, some people might say advanced in years. Like in the Bible, in some versions, it will say like where Moses or whatever, but it said, I am old and well advanced in years. and we can laugh in that all we want, but it was true. You know, if you were advanced in years, that meant, you know, you had been around for a long time. And, and the truth of the matter is, in a way, that means advanced wisdom. Isn't that true? Advanced wisdom.
Yes, a lot of people say wisdom comes with age.
Which can be so true.
Age and experience.
So true. But, we did that. And the night before, we took my dad to a nice Indian restaurant in the Detroit area, Livonia. Yeah, Livonia, Novi, over there in that part of the metro Detroit area. And, so that was very nice. And he enjoyed everything and all that we got for him. But hopefully he took some time for the ultimate father, the heavenly father, Jesus. And yesterday we did that too, you know, went to the house of God. Because ultimately, when we think about it, you know, when you go to the house of God, it's where the Father is. It's where the Lord is. And so it was, you know, great to be in the house of the Lord, of course. And hopefully, you know, for you, you took some time for your father, as, you know, we did in my family. I thank God for that. A dad is not just something that's a nice to have or something many people may wish they had. Say, why do you say that, Miracle Man? Well, for one thing, the father is supposed to be the leader of the home. But yes, he is. The father is supposed to be the leader of the home. God designed it that way. Yes, he did. There have been studies that have come out now. They've shown that kids who grow up fatherless tend to not do as well in school. They're more apt to drop out of school. They're much more apt to end up committing crimes and end up incarcerated. They're much more apt to be be abusers and users of drugs, illegal drugs, and other things. They tend to be more depressed. They tend to be more, and there's, you know, different things. And that's why it's so important to have a good, solid two-parent family. That's why that's so important. And because studies have shown that, you know, that it's much better that way. I'm not going to get into all those studies by any means, but they show a difference. They do show differences. And so, but the truth is, you know, Jesus is the Father. A father is a fatherless. Yes, he is. And I think of a verse in the Bible where it says that God would turn the heart of the children to their fathers. It also says, but it also says that it would turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. Lord, I pray that right now, that some of for these fathers, I pray that their hearts would turn back to their children. In the name of Jesus, I pray for that, because by the way, our fathers aren't supposed to just be leaders, you know, in natural life, but also in spiritual things. Mm-hmm. And so it goes both ways. And I'm fortunate now that for more than half of my life, that my father has been there with us. The one who's not my father, he's been there with us. Married to my mom. 17 years. We'll be 18 in December. And God has been there for them throughout that whole thing. And I've seen them grow together. And, you know, I don't snoop into every little thing. I don't know every detail. And of course, you know, with the marriage covenant, there's things that if you're not married, you know, you shouldn't know yet. You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the same time, you know, but I can honestly say they've grown together. They have grown together. Yes, they have. And I honestly feel like they've been great for each other. Not just good, great for each other. And so
that's an amen right there that you got to see that.
Yes, and that's why I have to say, you know, thank God for that. Because for a lot of my childhood, almost my brother's childhood, you know, for a lot of it, between when I was like 5 or so, 4 or 5, my brother would have been like 3 or so. So between then and, yeah, for about 10 years, we were praying for a dad. God brought him into our life. And so I thank God for him and for the man of God that he is. And he is exactly what I feel, exactly what a biblical father is supposed to be. Even though he might have not held us in his arms as babies, he had to deal with teenagers right off the bat.
Right.
As far as when he married, but thanks for that, Dad, anyway. But anyhow, I thank God that you've been part of my life. I really do. And so, you see, But you see, Jesus is a father to the fatherless. He really is. And when he says, you know, I will never leave you or forsake you, he's serious. He won't leave us. He won't forsake us.
Amen. Yeah.
Because he'll be there for you because he lives in us. And your natural father can't just live in your heart. he's got to walk around the earth. And you know, he has a life, he has a wife, but the Heavenly Father is in us. He lives in us. And we can always have him. And we can always call on him. And he is right there. And so honestly, that's just my thought on the whole Father's Day thing. Because, like I said, we had Father's Day yesterday, and I did have a graduation to go to, and it was nice. And my Aunt Shelley's oldest grandson graduated high school this year. And so it was a pretty nice thing.
Maybe just say a quick blessing for all of the listeners out there who have children graduating right now.
Father, I thank you, Lord God, for all these people. For all these people who have graduated this year, that will listen to this program, for the parents of those children, I pray, Lord God, for those who graduated high school, I thank you, Lord God, that you use them. You know what's next for them. You know what's next. And thank you that you just helped them with that. As now, it's time for them to make choices for what are they going to do with their life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, do they want to be preachers? Do they want to be, you know, if they go to a college to study, where do they go? What do they study? And what will you use them for to do in their lives? Because I know that you've called each and every one of us to something. You have called each and every one of us to a different thing. And I thank you that for these kids, you would find out what that is for their life, because obviously for each person it's different. And I thank you, Master, that you reveal that to each person. I pray that you reveal that to each person. In Jesus' name, amen. And, you know, there's something I want to talk to you about, you know, the next couple minutes, and that is this. This idea of fear and faith, you can't mix fear and faith together and expect there to be a good result. You can't. In fact, faith and fear won't mix together. They won't. If you are fearful, living in fear, you are faithless. A helper of mine, one of my helpers who happens to be a great friend of mine and has been a friend of Ray for a while, my brother Ray for a while, her dad has eye surgery tomorrow, and he's had this done before. I asked her, now Jenny, how's your dad feeling about surgery? And she told me, honestly, he's a bit scared. She told me he was scared. And I said, I told her, you know, gotta have faith and not fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And Curtis, I hope you're listening to this somehow. I hope you are, because, you know, God is on your side. He's on your side. He's fighting for us. He is. And folks, I remember, you know, I don't know exactly remember the day or whatever, but I remember when I was about 5 years old and in Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I'm about 5 years old or so. And I remember one time I'm about to go back there and I'm about to be taken back for this big surgery. Absolutely major surgery. And I remember telling my mom, okay, you know, we'll go with the next. So I go back there in the surgery, and my heart stops. But then they get it back up and running. And I've turned into like an 18, 19-hour surgery because of like the heart stopping and stuff. And if the heart stops, don't have to spend a few hours trying to figure out what it is.
I have no idea.
You would think.
You think.
At least another good amount of time to get it running, and then run tests on it and what have you to make sure it's safe to keep operating.
Right.
But then before that, I remember telling my mom, it's going to be okay. The angels are going back there with me. And I'm sure I'm thinking, you know, in my mind, I don't want to go back there. I'm sure I'm thinking, I want a Sprite. I want some cereal, or maybe a nice breakfast sandwich or something, like from the Ronald McDonald House, which was right by Erlanger in Chattanooga, Tennessee. But I remember telling my mom, Mom, the angels are going back there with me. Because I'm sure in her mind, she's all like, I'm sure in her mind, you know, she's praying, hoping for the best. I'm sure there has to be some nervousness in there, because after all, we're all human.
And she's a mother.
And I'm sure I'm like, I didn't get to eat. Because I remember asking my mom, you know, what are we going to eat for breakfast this morning? And she's like, you're not, you have surgery this morning. And so I, you know, get, you know, transported over there, you know, and then later on before somebody, I was saying, you know, the angels are going to be back there with me. Right after that, a little bit after that, what did they put that little thing in my nose? Right before that, I was like, I want a drink. And instead, they put the thing in my nose. What do I think I wanted? I think I wanted me a Sprite. You know, I'm sure in my mind I said Sprite, you know, to me I said Sprite, but to a lot of people, maybe, you know, 5 year olds are, maybe I said Sprite and didn't know it.
Aw, that's cute.
But, you know, the little 5 year old thing, that's why I said Sprite.
Right.
Because I'm about like it. You know, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, if folks know this or not, but a little tidbit. The first bottled Coca-Cola's ever, they didn't come out of Atlanta like the actual Coca-Cola started. The actual came out of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Really?
Yep, Chattanooga, Tennessee. About an hour and a half, about an hour and 45 minutes north by northwest of downtown Atlanta via 75. When you get to the city and all, I-24. Chattanooga. And I'll be down there in a couple weeks for a couple days as I'm going on vacation. I will probably do a show from there, from down there at Chattanooga. It is honestly one of my favorite cities in America. And for me, all five of my favorite cities in America are in the South. The ones that aren't in the South, they're all in Ohio but one. You're not surprised that they're all in Ohio, are you?
That does not surprise me
they're all in Ohio. Cincinnati, Toledo, Columbus, and then that other one that's not, Detroit, also Chicago, but Chicago has gone so woke, it's unreal.
I haven't been there. How does it seem woke to you? I haven't been there in years and years and years.
To me, it's different from Ann Arbor, but like the way that they have just let crime grow out of control, and it keeps going up there in Chicago.
Okay, that makes sense.
But the crime rate keeps going up astronomically. Where the cities that I go to, at least they try to keep a handle on it. But like Chicago, San Francisco, oh my goodness, San Francisco, I don't even know if they care.
Oh, no.
I don't.
Well, what kind of things are going on there that make you feel that way?
Tons of crime, rampant homelessness, it's off the charts, needles in the street even.
Oh, no.
To me, that seems worse than like even the worst parts of Detroit.
That's very sad.
To me, knowing that, is it just me or you almost feel like you'd rather be in the worst part of Detroit than be in San Fran? I would.
Yeah, probably.
I'd rather be like stuck in a place on 8 Mile or 7 Mile than be in San Fran right now. I'm serious. Because at least there, you know, maybe not in like the best parts of San Francisco, maybe, but in a lot of parts, it's like, wow. But anyhow, folks, I do got a couple housekeeping things real quick that I always try to do before. But I was going to say, but first, you know, faith versus fear. But the whole faith versus fear thing. So if I am faithful, then that means I should be fearless. That means we don't have to be afraid. When I'm afraid, the Bible says, when I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust and not be afraid. I'll say it again. When I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust and not be afraid. The perfect love of Jesus casts out all fear. Yes, it does. It does. It casts it out. And it has, and it's been given power over fear. And every one of us at some point has to deal with the spirit of fear in our life. And, you know, but we don't have to be afraid. We can trust in Him.
Amen.
We don't have to do, we don't have to have all this anxiety stuff. We can trust in Him. I have two different people today, two different places, talk about their, talk about how they're super anxious. And I'm thinking to myself, we need Jesus. Because, and it's crazy when you just listen, you know, what you'll notice. You know, when you just pay attention to what you notice, you know, when people will say things. And they, yeah, two different places, you know, and they'll say. But Jesus said to be anxious about nothing. That means we shouldn't be having all this anxiety. Anxiety is defeated. Fear is defeated. The devil is defeated.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. But we're supposed to live in faith, not fear. And instead, you got that surgery and you're afraid of it, pray over that surgery. What about praying over that surgeon instead? What about praying? Asking God to, you know, help you feel better about it. And not let that fear grip you. Otherwise, that fear can grip you all the way to that OR. It can grip you all the way to that recovery, all the way to that pre-op room, all the way to the OR. When they put you down. I feel that sometimes that fear can cause it to take longer for you to recover. You think that's true?
Repeat it again?
I think that sometimes if people have outrageous amounts of fear before they go into surgery, that it can cause it to take longer to recover.
Yes, I do, because I think it gets all of their vital signs and everything up, and it's not good for them.
So it's not just medical reasoning. It's ultimately also spiritual.
Right.
Of course, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Hallelujah.
Whom shall I fear? And so I just know that God's going to be with them with that surgery tomorrow. And I just know that for a fact. I really do. But, okay, now housekeeping for real this time. Okay, first of all, I do want to remind you about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been. And it's been so great to watch God move on my behalf, all the things He's done for me. The times where what seemed impossible became possible. And God just moved on my behalf. There were true miracles that happened over the course of my life. And I know this. God's not done with me. And you can go online to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. That is Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S, of miracles.com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. And you can get that book, you know, and let it be a blessing into your life. And when you're done reading it, I want to encourage you to sell it to someone else. Because I believe in God for that book, for more and more people to read that book. I want to see us sell more books.
Yes.
I really do.
Yes.
And so I thank God for that. And so that's one thing. The other thing I want to remind you about real quickly is about the PayPal. Now, if this has been a blessing into your life, honestly, I pray. I really do pray that it's been a blessing into your life. I know I've enjoyed doing it myself, but I pray, folks, that you've been getting something out of this. Besides just a little laugh, I pray that you're getting the word of God from this. As I bring you the word, and I tell it to you from the Bible and what the Bible says. And so I thank the Lord for that. And you can go online to sow your seed. You can go to the website, paypal.com. In the search bar, type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla. S-H-U-K-L-A. I want you to keep in mind two quick things about that. Number one, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. The other thing I want you to keep in mind related to that is that the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those have the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla, both of those have a capital on them. So if you would kindly just make a note of that, and I greatly appreciate that. And so now I want to sing a couple of songs for you, and then I want to get into the word of the Lord. For tonight, you will see what the Lord has for us for tonight. And we're going to be doing a cappella singing tonight. Just checking something real quick, and then I'll get right to it.
Out of the darkness we will rise and sing.
All my hope is in him. He is freedom. He is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love and peace and life. Oh, oh, he has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him. Oh, he has paid the highest price. He has proven his great love for us. We will praise him with our lives and proclaim our love for him. And proclaim our love for him. He is faithful. He is glorious. And he is Jesus. All our hope is in him. He is freedom. He is healing right now. He is hope and joy, love and peace and life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, when the music fades away. I give you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. On the other, you're lurking into my heart. Yes, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you, where it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made. Where it's all about you, where it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made, where it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I give you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within than the eyes of you. You're looking into my heart. Yes, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it, where it's all about you, where it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. Yes, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you, Jesus. And I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. I believe it. Yes. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. I believe it. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Healing is here. Healing is here. Yes, it is. Healing is here. Oh, I believe it. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Yes, you are. Jesus is here.
Hallelujah.
I believe it. I lift my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. I lift my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are a God of all power. Do your will that my life is healed. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is healed. Yes, sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. I lift my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my hands where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Healing is here. Healing is here. Healing is here. Oh, I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You are our healing. You are our freedom. You're everything we need, Jesus. You are our Savior, Jesus. You take fear away, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that no matter what we go through, no matter what we go through, you're always there for us.
Amen, yes.
That you are the miracle worker. You are the miracle worker, Jesus.
Amen.
You're the freer, Jesus. You're the one that frees people. You're the God of freedom. You're the God of breakthrough. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on our life. And it's great to serve you. It's great to be a Christian. It's great to know that you're on our side. It's great to know, Jesus, that the victory is always greater than the battle.
Hallelujah.
The victory is always greater than the battle. It's always greater, no matter how terrible that battle may seem.
Because God is greater.
Because God is greater. He is greater. He's so much greater than we could ever ask or think.
And I
thank you, Master, for that, for your hand being on us. And I thank you for what you're doing, Jesus. And thank you for this time in the Word tonight. Thank you that these listeners have ears ready to hear. That they have come ready to receive whatever it is, anything and everything that you have in store for them tonight in your mighty name. Jesus. And thank you that you've anointed me to deliver the word. Thank you that these listeners have ears ready to hear it, and they're ready to focus on it. And now I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. Most importantly of all, though, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Go with me, if you would, please. I want to go to the book of Acts. I'm going to look with chapter 12, starting at verse 1. We're going to talk about Peter and how him being put in prison, and then he gets released from prison. You know, and it's actually a miraculous.
Acts 12.
That he has. And I have Acts 12. I'm going to begin with verse 1. So, it was about that time that King Herod struck, that he arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death by the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, eyeing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each, 16 different guys. When you have a squad, four soldiers in it, make that four squads. Each squad, four soldiers, 16 guys, 16 people guarding them. Four squads, four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison. But the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and light shone. And a light shone in the cell. And woke him up. Quick, get out! Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and your sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and he said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's crutches and from everything the Jewish people anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Or the way we would say that now, they were having a prayer meeting. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door!" "You're out of your mind," they told her. They should have said, "Yeah, he's here, hallelujah!" But instead they said, "You're out of your mind. See, people at a prayer meeting, doubting." They're doubting at a prayer meeting.
No bueno.
You're right, that's not good. They were doubting at a prayer meeting. If all those people gathered together for what? A prayer meeting. And they doubt. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-exchanged the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there a while. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience for him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the Lord, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark. So, you see here, Herod, all that wicked Herod guy. He was a wicked dude, and he basically said, "Oh, this Peter guy, we gotta arrest him. We can't just let him go on. We can't just let Peter go on doing, you know, ministering like this. We gotta find a way to stop it. We gotta find a way to stop it. Arrest him. Do what we gotta do." So they decide you know, we're going to put these different people in there, you know, these different people who worship God, who preach about God and all this stuff. We're going to kill some. We're going to throw others in prison. You know, we don't want that stuff happening here anymore. And he's like, no more. No more. So then he agrees, you know, to have to put Peter on public trial. But the night before trial, the angel of the Lord came. The angel of the Lord comes. And he literally tells Peter, get up. He's saying, Peter, get up. And then Peter gets up. Peter tells him, you know, put on your clothes, sandals. He puts his stuff on, you know, clothes, sandals. Maybe we'll just say it's summer. Summer, he puts on a pair of shorts, puts on his little, you know, dress shirt. Maybe nowadays it'd be a dress shirt type thing, you know, maybe a shirt like the one I got on, you know, maybe put that thing on, and then, and, you know, maybe puts on a pair of sandals. They were special, different sandals from what we have now. They probably want Crocs. What are those either? Probably wasn't wearing. Otherwise, people would be going up to him saying, what are those? Maybe little kids would. What are those? But nonetheless, no, he wasn't wearing no Crocs. He was wearing a certain sandals, probably leather. I don't know. But that's beside the point. Back to the real message. So, nonetheless, and then the angel of the Lord, you know, and in that process, the chains, the prison chains that he was wrapped in, you know, he was bound by the chains, bound, not supposed to be able to get up. Oh, and by the way, four squads of four soldiers each, 16 soldiers. He was sleeping between two soldiers, no privacy at all. And so he's in there, and then that angel, you know, helps him out, you know, and that, and then, you know, as he's walking, you know, with that angel, he's one, you know, and then that gate opens on its own. The angel didn't just go, okay, let me get a key, you know, do I have a key, where's the key, do I get a key, how do I get a key, do you have another key, who has a key, is it Paul? No, none of that. That's not how it went. The door, the iron gate that leads to the city opens on its own. Peter goes out the gate with that angel. The angel walks the street with him, the length of a street with him. And at that point, he's wondering, you know, up to that point, he's wondering, is this real? Is this real? Am I actually being let out of prison? Or is it just a vision from the Lord that I'm having of what will be? Am I actually being let out of prison? Or is it just a vision of what will be? And then he comes to himself after the angel leaves him. He comes to himself and he realizes, oh, I'm out here. An angel of the Lord did this. And then he goes, Peter goes to the house of Mary, and he goes to the house of Mary, you know, where all these people, all those people, there's a prayer meeting going on. There's tons of people inside praying. And they're all like, you know, may your will be done. You know, and he gets there knocking. Whoever comes to the door, Peter's outside knocking at the door. She sees it. She says, hey, it's Peter. She's like, it's Peter. People are like, Rhoda, you're out of your mind. I had a cassette tape that told this story. Different from the Your Story Hours, but, you know, a different one that told Bible stories, and it was dramatized, and it was imagining it, like, where the guy's like, give her some water to drink. You know, the food is out of her mind. And he's like, you know, give her water. She's just out of her mind. And he's like, and these people are like, and all these people inside are like, go, it's a ghost. Peter's dead. It's a ghost. It's a ghost. They can't be Peter at the door. And then that thing, he's saying, and of course, it gives a little bit of a longer version of what the Bible did. And in the dramatized version, Peter's up there like, it's Peter. Open the door. And then she decides to open the door. Everybody notices it's Peter. They were at a prayer meeting. They went from prayer to doubting. How do you do that? Oh, they see something. And they think, you know, just, it's just, you know, something in our imagination. No, it was Peter. You know, one thing I can think of is they didn't have Bible teachers. They weren't quite having the Bible teachers that we have today, like to where they would all have that faith all built up. Do you think that was part of their problem?
Probably.
Is that their faith wasn't all built up?
Right. They didn't have somebody, you know, kind of being their spiritual cheerleader, so to speak.
They didn't have a pastor. They didn't have a Dr. Buckley.
Right.
Giving them the word of God every service. You know, imparting faith into them, and all that. So because of that, they looked outside, and rather than seeing Peter, they felt like maybe there was a ghost outside, and not Peter.
Thanks.
When in fact, who was outside? Peter.
Right.
And he tells them the story, as to what happened. And about how the chains fall off his wrist. And in it, he tells it as if it's Peter telling the story.
Right.
As opposed to the Bible, like where it's narrated, not necessarily by Peter, you know, but Peter had, Peter had, the hand of God on him. Peter had the hand of God on him. Because the next morning, Herod had every one of those, he had every last one of those soldiers through which Peter and that angel escaped the prison,
mm-hmm.
every last one of them executed. And then Herod went on another thorough search for him, didn't find him. Then Herod's talking to the people later on, and then Herod gets struck down by an angel of God. Why? Because he was not honoring God. He was not honoring God. He was dishonoring God. But the word of God was spreading. And, you know, and this was another case where we see that the victory is greater than the battle. And obviously for Peter, that was a tough battle. You know, being in prison like that.
Oh, definitely.
being in prison. But at the same time, I think of when Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, he got arrested because he opened his church in Florida, you know, which is now Free Florida. But he opened his church, you know, in Hillsborough County. And in fact, turned out that the sheriff of Hillsborough County, Chad Cronister, he had arrested his friend. The sheriff had arrested his friend. Think about that. But then...
That would have been hard for the sheriff, too.
Yeah, it would have been. But then, you know, later, they ended up dismissing all those charges. They ended up dismissing all those charges. Florida is a free state. Free, open. Thank God for that. Thank God for Free Florida, of course. Herod was absolutely not happy with him. Oh yeah, but I was saying, you know, but then on Howard Brown, you know, when they arrested him, he goes into the county jail where he lives. He doesn't actually live in Hillsborough County. His church is. He lives about an hour north of where the church is. So he goes into the county jail. You know, they book him in, and he gets the mugshot, which ended up going around the world. He's a piece of God on him. When he gets in there, he's only in there for like 40 minutes or something like that. He gets released after like 40 minutes. And the piece of God was on him when he goes in that jail cell and he goes to sleep. He goes right to sleep. Many of us, when we get in that jail cell, we might not go right to sleep.
Right.
You might go in there and want to fight.
Right.
You might want to go in there and be like, is there someone out here in here I can fight? Is there, you know?
Right.
They might want to kick the door. They might want to, but no, not him. He just falls right to sleep. And do you love Jesus enough? Folks, the question becomes, do you love Jesus enough that you would even be arrested for him if it came to it? Or are you just that worried about your record and that you just think, I wouldn't want to be arrested. I wouldn't even be arrested for my Jesus. Hopefully you're not one of those people who would be like, I would not be arrested for my Jesus. You know, we don't want to be criminals. So, like, obviously, you know, but at the same, time, you know, you know, if God says to do something, you're supposed to obey, not disobey. You're supposed to obey him and do what the Word of God says. And so if he says do this, then you're supposed to do it. And not question it. But my point is, Peter wasn't afraid, but he was wise. And he went to another place after he had left Mary's, left the house of Mary, where he had been. He didn't go, because he felt it was wise. He didn't do that like to try to play a spectacle and be a spectacle and be like, well, I just don't want to be arrested again, so I'll just, you know, go somewhere to hide and maybe hopefully not be arrested. It was wise for him to go do what he did. I think of when Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. They praised God there in the prison. They weren't sitting there kicking and screaming, whoa, let me out of prison, let me out of here now. Oh, warden, get me out.
That was a very scary voice.
I'm imagining what they would be doing. I'm imagining.
Yeah, I guess they'd be pretty hoarse if they were in prison, huh?
Yeah, some people would. I think some people would be.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's like in there in real life. I've never been in there, thank God. I've never been in prison. But nonetheless, I'm just imagining.
Right.
And you know, people who go there don't want to be there. At least they're not supposed to. I heard a story once about someone who actually missed being in prison, committed a crime so they could go back.
Oh dear.
How sick of an individual can you be that you would think that? I'm this prison. How? But God was with Peter. God was with Paul and Silas. God was with Daniel in the lion's den. He was with the three Hebrew children with that fiery furnace after it was heated to God's temperature 7 times hotter. Yeah, because 7 times hotter than what it had been at. That's God's temperature, man.
Yeah.
And by God's temperature, and I don't mean no 80 degrees.
No.
Or 85. We might say that's God's temperature outside, like 80, 85 degrees, you know, next to no humidity, perfect weather to go swim at the city pool and all that. You know, and enjoy like the, you know, some of the best days of summer. But God was with them. Truth of the matter is, no matter what we go through, God's with us. And we can know that all things are possible with God on our side. And it doesn't matter what we're facing. God is there for us. And when God is standing for us, when he's fighting for us, who can stand against us?
No one.
Because God is on our side. And with God, a couple of things are possible. Oh man, I'm sorry. With God, all things are possible. Yes, all things are possible. Amen. Just had to see people paying attention. And then, you know, I try to make it all funny and that make it sound like I just slipped this. I'm like, oh, you know? You know, hopefully they got their attention on that. It actually does say, with God, all things are possible. And that's actually part of that state to the south, Ohio, part of their motto, with God, all things are possible, which I think is really cool.
It is.
Have you seen that? That's what it is there, is with God, all things are possible?
I have not seen that, but hearing it, I think that's awesome.
That's cool. It's cool. I wish it was on the billboard. I hope it is on the billboard somewhere. I really hope it is. Well, I'll find out when I go down there in about a week and a half. But I hope it's down there. I hope it's down there on that billboard.
Most definitely. That would be very cool.
If it is, and it better be in big letters so everybody can actually see it. If it was up to me, it would be, so that it, like, sticks out across that thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because it should be. But it's not with these false gods that all things are possible. It's only through our God that all things are possible.
Amen.
And I thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you, Jesus, for this word tonight. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that whatever situations that we may be facing, Jesus, that you're on our side. And that through you, nothing is impossible. All things are possible for you. All things are possible for those of us who choose to believe in you and to believe your word. And I thank you, Master, for what you're doing in our midst. And now I make my confession over this. And I thank you, Lord, for that in your name. Amen. And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.